血も費やして綴られた僕らの気分、どうしてか一行の空白を埋められない、押し花のしおり挟んで君と転がす使い捨ての自転車、忘れかけのレンガを積み上げた場所に。
Hey everybody, and welcome to Thursday, August 16th Jumpcast, the only manga podcast that will never be about romance manga again. Joining me this week is Mike Lemieux and our Greg Jan replacement, Emerson Pugh. Hey guys.
Woohoo!
So this week in Nisekoi, it was really good.
I was listening to last week's, it was just, I don't feel like my jaw could drop any further, but it just kept going and going. It makes me very happy that I only read manga about people punching people.
It was the best train I've ever been involved in.
There's some punching people in the romance mangas.
But it seems to only result in rape scenarios.
Well, no.
Yeah. Sometimes, let's be fair. Sometimes there's rape.
Enough
sometimes
that you guys
there's rape, but not punching.
That you've had to mention it at least two times in that last podcast.
It was two different manga.
Because you can't have it. You can't use the same trick twice in the same manga. Obviously. So let's start with our weekly murdering of Barrage. Okay, so last week we didn't get a chance to cover because the whole jump craziness and also rape.
Romance.
Yeah.
We call it same thing.
Same thing in Japan, really.
So last week was Astro defeating Tadpole.
Tadpole ran off after he got his leg hurt.
Because Astro turned his org into a sword.
Yes. And so the last chapter that we didn't cover was the follow-up to that.
Yeah.
Which, I don't know, not just them setting out, I guess, is pretty much the gist of it.
I feel like they're rushing things now.
Oh, given this week's chapter? Yeah.
Yep.
We'll get to that later, but...
Well, Tadpole was complaining to Black that the dark energy didn't work as he wanted it to.
And it's, you're a fool, you weren't using it right. Giant hand.
And then they tell Tico to just stay home while they handle everything.
Let the men handle this.
Well, I get to understand his reasoning is that she's not really trained or anything. She just has guns and then got her ass kicked by Tadpole a few minutes prior.
Also, Tiamat broke her gun, so.
Yeah.
But I think it's funny. Stay with this corpse. We're going to go take revenge for you.
And then, like, the following week, nobody's moved the corpse yet.
Nope.
Well, where do you put it?
The ground?
Move it somewhere?
They're already in the ground.
Cover it with a sheet? Don't just leave it there.
Well, they have a coat over it.
So
not the face.
And
is that his coat, though?
It's Tiamat's coat, isn't it?
Yeah, because he comes out without
it. Oh, yeah, he took it off.
So in this chapter, we get the first hint that Black knows something about Astro. Because he says, the Prince of Industria, huh? And then he says Astro's name.
Yes. Which, I didn't catch that last week.
Yeah, it only makes sense knowing what we know this week. But Astro has his crisis of conscience about not being able to protect the old man. And Tiamat gives him the sensei speech.
And then they just start murdering random aliens again.
Yep, they get outside and start murdering up aliens.
I really gotta think there's, like, some innocent aliens in this town.
There have to be. It's a town. Not everyone is a jackass.
But they're pro-Earth. And he didn't hit the innocent alien. He hit the big guy that was flexing.
And, like six other people that were between him and that guy. So, yeah, his new sword can stretch, I guess, is the thing.
Which, again, is something I feel like they wanted to hold off till later. Because he acclimated to that really quickly.
Well, I mean, it's his spirit, you know, so on.
It's his Yu Yu Hakusho fight improvement thing.
It's his Zanpakuto. It's a reflection of himself.
Yeah.
Well, we just never really understood much about what the org could do.
Well, we haven't had time to.
Yeah.
I think he knows that his back is against the wall here.
Speaking of which, this week's chapter.
Yeah. I like the alien designs, like, a lot.
Yes, they're frequently great, especially crowd shots where there's like 20 different kinds.
And they're all individual.
Yeah.
None of this Kubo Tite, everyone's wearing a black robe and has long blonde hair shit.
Well, we've always said that he's a great artist with who puts a lot of personality in his drawings.
Just not always.
So this had a Tiamat moment that I liked where he was about to get killed by an alien and he like decapitates the guy and then says like, guess I still need to get used to the sword. You know, like he did a bad job of doing it.
Yeah.
He decapitates him 3 times.
Yeah. But he's still not used to the sword.
Well, it's not his really sword gun thing.
Yeah, it's too light for him.
So there's a couple of pages of Tico having a crisis of conscience.
Which she's probably going to come and help them.
Yeah. I mean, that's pretty predictable.
That's the
predictable.
Only way that goes.
Then it becomes like Garan Barrage again, where Astro just makes his org get the size of a building to cut it in half at once.
He drills to the heavens.
And then crazy info dump.
Yeah, Black shows up.
Black shows up, stops his sword, and then basically just tells him the main twist of the whole entire manga.
Yep, just really nonchalantly, just flat out. Hey, Astro, you're actually the real Barrage. You were switched at birth. The end.
Thanks for reading.
Conveniently out of earshot of Tiamat.
This really feels like it's going to be, like, ending soon.
Yeah.
I mean, this was like 6 pages of just info dump. Of like, what are your motivations? Oh, I'll tell you. I'll also tell you about yourself.
Nice meeting you, guy who influenced my entire life and is now a villain. I'm sad because I like this manga, but this is clearly in the death throes.
Hey, it's rising in the ranks, shooting up like a rocket.
It's from slightly above Bleach.
No, it's not.
Isn't it?
We're talking about first.
Oh, then what was it?
It's above Pajama no Kanjo.
Something Kanojo. I've never heard of.
It's a romance manga. Hey, you know, we should talk about that.
Oh, no.
So Tiamat is distracted by the traitor soldiers, and he can't quite get to Astro while he's being info dumped on.
Yes. Also, they do call out Black's new horns and eyes, so I still think he might be controlled by something.
Or he... And I can see that, but he has the knowledge that Astro is the real prince.
Well, he could be being influenced then.
Yeah.
You know, earning his
My
soul.
My theory is that Black eventually, like, you know, his code of honor just did not help him out in the end. So he shot himself back into space into despair, and he was visited by dark energy.
And became possessed and, like, the emissary of energy kind of thing. I could see that. Dark Energy is clearly the bigger villain here, not Black himself.
What I'm thinking is maybe that he's telling the truth, but they think he's lying? About him being prince?
I kind of don't want him to be the prince.
Yeah.
Me neither.
I liked him just being the pauper without that story taking the predictable...
But it explain why he can use the org.
Yeah, I mean, they've hinted at that a while. Like, oh, you look
well, not that much of a while. They've hinted at it before. But granted, this is chapter 13.
Yeah. This thing's not going to make it to 25, is it?
Nope.
No.
I feel like if it lasts to 20, I'll be shocked.
Well, a lot of stuff gets ended around 24, 25-ish.
So, yeah.
But this one seems, you know, it's been so low for so long.
In Enigma, when that was getting close to getting canceled, they just info-dumped, like, every chapter. I started getting, like, a real uh-oh feeling reading that.
And it still just ended.
Yeah, and then they had to do another chapter to finish explaining stuff. But that kind of got to the thing of, like, at the end of the chapter, it's like, onward to the final conclusion, it's like, or, you know, to the ultimate answer. What? What? No, I like this manga. Stop. That's what this chapter kind of felt like. Was kind of an uh-oh.
Could you imagine if Dragon Ball ended that sort of way? Be like, oh, all the 5 remaining Dragon Balls happen to be right here.
Piccolo grabs Goku and tells him he's an alien.
Now everyone is happy.
I'm a Yoshi.
Or Naruto ending that way with just Naruto. Oh, by the way, Fox Demon solved Sasuke's evil. Done.
I inherited the will of the Uchiha, blah, 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 blah.
And now Naruto's the Hokage at age 12.
He's like 14 now.
Well, I mean, if it ended early.
Yeah. So, predictions.
I don't think... Predictions make me feel sad now.
I'm going to hold out hope and say that, like, since you pointed out Tiamat didn't hear him, this is probably going to be a secret that Astro keeps to himself for a while. For a long, long time.
I think that's probably his backup plan if this manga continues on.
Yeah.
But I think, like, 8 weeks from now, it's going to be around 21, so we'll see if this plan worked out. I think that he's probably bought himself enough time.
Yeah. As far as, you know, actual guesses go, Tiamat, I don't think, will be able to handle himself against all the guards and Tadpole, so I think we'll have Tico showing up next chapter to bail him out.
Yeah.
To at least take care of Tadpole.
Yeah, she's going to fight Tadpole.
And then he'll take care of all the guards and guys.
Yeah. It'd be pretty funny if it's that kind of thing of like, okay, I took down Tadpole, and she turns around, and he's taken out, like, every other guard.
They need to bring the whale back.
I had to use some of their swords. Sorry.
Okay, I would love it if she came in on the whale, and they explained why Tadpole was so scared of it. Like, if the space whales are the ultimate beings or something.
Or they eat Tadpoles.
That would be great.
Oh, I would love it if the whale just ate Tadpole. That would be great.
Just smashes through the city wall.
See, that's a good way to be abridged about this sort of thing. Not just bring him up, then info dump. Oh, yeah, Barrage.
I hope this works. I mean, it's on its way up, so we'll see.
If it continues, I hope Black escapes and is kind of like the anti-dragon from One Piece.
It really seems like getting a popular manga is in rolling the dice. Like, I can't really explain what would make, say, Hikaru no Go popular, but not this.
It's right time, right place, just, and a little bit of random chance, I think. You know, people have to latch on, because if the people don't latch on, you get moved to the back, and nobody reads it. And
yeah, if Barrage came out, let's say 7 months from now, I think it's at a much better chance.
There's a real death spiral when it comes to manga, that once you get going down, it's really hard to turn that back around.
I also think the issue is that this manga is still mostly derivative of, you know, your standard Shonen Jump. And, you know, following Naruto, Bleach, and One Piece, it's just so much harder to do a bottle manga.
Yeah, just here's the genre-defining, you know, superstars, and, you know, here's a thing that kind of took influence from them, but not really, and it's just kind of,
yeah, it doesn't really feel like the next generation of shonen like One Piece and Naruto did at the time. It feels like this is a very good, competent shonen manga, but it's not the revolution that you got 10 years ago.
You know, the good time for this probably would have been when Bleach ended.
Yeah.
And there's the power vacuum for a battle manga. Because it's not like Bleach did anything particularly revolutionary.
Bleach started out basically just Yu Yu Hakusho with different designs.
And I think it filled the void of that other battle manga I read.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure if that's true nowadays, because it's just barely above Barrage at the bottom of the list.
Yeah. Bleach fans, however many there are, would have gone somewhere else, and this would have been a decent replacement for it.
Yeah.
But oh well, it is what it is now.
We'll see. There's still hope.
No.
All right.
Hope is dead.
Speaking of dead things, on to Bleach. So your prediction was, Mike, that we would see literally no Kenpachi, and that he would be killed immediately.
I'll change my prediction that now he will be killed immediately after this chapter.
I agree, but at least he got his badass moment in.
Badass moments.
He described how he killed three Stern Ritters.
Which was actually kind of awesome. Just like, oh, this guy turned into me, and I don't know, I just killed him.
I got stronger than myself. Whatever.
My favorite one was that, like, the first guy roared, so Kenpachi just killed him. And the second guy, he couldn't understand what he was saying, so he just killed him.
Oh, yeah, he was like the, what's the word? Just like the villain that tells you all of his plans.
Yeah.
Exposition. Not exposition, but
monologuing?
Yes, monologuing. Kenpachi just runs in and kills him while he's in the middle of it.
Which is why Kenpachi needs to be the actual main character of this manga. How much better would everything have been?
You didn't read the last arc, but that's pretty much what happened, is he was up against one of the, whatever they're called. No, it was the Chad Orihime people. You know, he fought the butler.
What?
And, like, oh, I forgot all about that arc.
the dude was like grandstanding about his powers and how powerful he is, and then like he blinks and all of a sudden he's like cut in half, like down the middle. And Kenpachi just goes like, "Oh, you talk too much," and he walks away as the guy just slumps over dead. And like it was less than one issue. Like everyone else had multi chapter battles. He just struck the guy down in one blow.
I hope at least they have somewhat of a fight. Maybe just to show how strong this guy is. I hope it's not just, you know, we come back to the fight and Kenpachi's dead.
Nope. I think Kenpachi's going to fight Mr. Smithers right there, so. You know, the sub guy, the assistant.
The guy with long blonde hair?
Yeah, him.
the guy
in the cloak with long blonde hair. Yeah.
And then as soon as Kenpachi starts to, you know, go into the battle with the lead Quincy guy, it shifts to Ichigo.
I have my suspicion that no one here is really dying. I think they're going to, like, you know how in Naruto, the pain fight when, like, everyone died and then they just magically wished back to life?
Yeah.
I think that's what's going to happen here.
No, they weren't wished back to life. They had slugs.
No. Pain brought them back to life somehow.
Yeah, he sacrificed himself.
Oh, I thought the slugs did it.
No. Some of them were straight up. Kakashi had a nail through his head.
Yeah.
Oh, what the hell?
And so, anyway, Ichigo just cries and screams and whines.
He's in the glass cage of emotion.
He does the only thing he knows how to do, attack.
And there seems to be some kind of white and black power swirling around him. So.
Do you guys remember that whole Urohara thing that they haven't talked about in like 5 chapters?
Urohoop?
Yeah. That was presumably going to solve this whole problem, but let's just focus on Ichigo for a while.
I'm sure we'll shift to that the next time something interesting happens.
Now, instead, they shift back to
Hisagi.
Not black-haired Ichigo.
Hisagi.
Black-haired Ichigo. The guy with numbers on the cheek.
69 tattoo face.
Yeah.
69 dude. How's that?
That's probably the laziest design of this entire manga.
I mean, you say that, but then there's Kaiden, who is literally black-haired Ichigo.
Is there another one?
Yeah, Rukia's old vice captain, remember? Ganju's brother?
Oh, right.
Like, literally just Ichigo with black hair. For some reason.
But yeah.
There was also that healer guy from the Soul Society arc. He was pretty boring.
Oh, Hanataro?
Yeah, the guy voiced by Shinji.
So he's fighting the monkey face turn Ritter.
Yeah, the overkill.
Yeah. Which is
I do like the names of the Stein Ritter. The letters.
Yeah. I mean
over.
No one ever said there were only 26 letters.
Now that only works if someone explicitly said there was only 26 letters at some point. Cause that was the funniest part is people finding the chapter where Aizen says, yes, they're numbered 1 through 10.
No one ever expected Aizen's plan of lying
to his own people when nobody else was around.
So what's his name? Genryusai comes in to save black-haired Ichigo with tattoo.
Hisagi.
Yeah. And the overkill brings out Hisagi's Bankai.
No. It's Yamamoto's vice captain that got killed. It's his Bankai.
Wait, Yamamoto's vice captain got killed?
Yeah, remember the freaking Vincent Price guy got stabbed?
That was the first attack.
That guy, yeah.
Yeah.
For some reason, I was thinking of the other, Kankyu? The laid-back captain.
No, Kyoraku.
Yeah.
No, he's not dead. So I guess the reveal is that the overkill is the one that killed his vice captain.
And so he's going to use his clearly effective Bankai against the commander.
Wasn't good enough to save him, but it'll be good enough to beat the strongest Shinigami in Soul Society.
Do you think he's going to end up using his Bankai too and have it stolen, or is he not that stupid, like everyone else?
I don't think he's that stupid. I think Yamamoto is just going to own this guy.
Yeah.
You don't get to Captain Commander by being stupid.
I don't know. You get to Captain pretty easily.
Seems like just a time thing, you know, all union stuff. You put in your dues and you get to be captain.
You don't see any young captain commanders. Yeah, that basically this is that chapter. It's confrontation it after bad. Confrontation with no actual action, I guess.
Hey, whatever.
It got good with Kenpachi, then got really shitty with Ichigo, then got better with Inryusai.
I mean, they spent like 6 pages just having Ichigo hit the thing just so they could show like a little bit of power swirling around him.
Also, why is it assuming Rukia is dead?
Well, he can hear everything that's going on for some reason.
Oh, so apparently Rukia died off panel?
Or he might be imagining it, although he does like envision Byakuya totally wasted.
She's just incredibly hurt and needs to be saved.
And again, in the Rukia panel, who she's fighting is like just slightly obscured by being, you know, slightly off panel. They really don't want to show who she's fighting.
Maybe he just doesn't have anybody.
I think that's a really good possibility.
Bleach. Any predictions for next week?
More jumping around.
Yeah.
Yamamoto will just kill this guy, then we'll jump to somebody else.
I'm going to play the averages game and assume that they have to go to Urahara next week just because they can't leap to anything else without being obvious.
I bet it's half Yamamoto, half Urahara. Like, right down the middle.
And neither one is satisfactory.
No, I bet Yamamoto's will finish up here. And then, because he needs to fight the head Quincy.
If it's Grimmjow that's with Urahara, then that'll bump up interest for people.
Yeah, everybody loves Grimmjow.
Isn't he, like, weirdly popular?
Yeah.
Like all of Ichigo's rivals.
He was, like, the third most popular in a poll one time.
I mean, his design's really not that good, and everything I've seen of the character is kind of boring.
Oh, he's like Bruce Lee, but a leopard.
Makes sense.
I didn't like him.
I like the other guy better, the Ulaquera.
Yeah, he was more interesting from a character perspective. He wasn't just angry dude. Like, he had mixed motivations about why he was doing stuff.
Also, I thought Ulaquera was a girl for the longest time.
So that makes a nice transition to Beelzebub.
Okay, we can't call out how good that was. So just keep it nice and smooth.
So Kugiyama has been, like, she's explaining that she had to grow up a man.
And the single greatest part of this chapter is Oga trying to act like he understands her.
Yeah, he sympathizes because he also had to grow up a man. Not quite realizing the context of the situation.
And then she points out, like, her clothing, you know, she has her breasts tied down and her shirt has shoulder pads. And then Oga says that he also had to choose between shoulder pads and an iPad.
Well, she had to answer the breast question because Furuichi was staring at her.
Yeah.
Like Furuichi does.
Creepy-chi.
Well, that's a good question.
But she challenges Himikawa to a battle. And if Himikawa loses, they have to get married.
Yes, because Himikawa taught her the feelings of being a young woman in love. To which Ichigo replies, or not Ichigo, Oga.
Oh.
Oga says that he knows what she's saying. He's also a young woman. And then he like just starts like throwing up blood. This is great.
I love that gag.
Yes.
Throwing up blood will never not be funny.
Because, you know, Himekawa's throwing up blood just from hearing it.
So I think I'm trying to understand what actually happened in this fight. That Himikawa agreed to the fight and they start, then he just turns on the elevator and they go.
He never plays fair.
It causes, I think his subordinate starts the elevator and then it catches, what's her name? I'm blanking on it.
Kugiyama?
Yeah, Kugiyama off guard, so then Himikawa can just move in and go for the killing blow, but he doesn't actually take it.
So they agree not to actually get married because Himikawa technically won.
Yeah. Although I think they call it a draw.
Yeah.
Because his little subordinate dude points out to her that he could have won but chose not to.
So nothing really, like, shocking happened. It was just a bunch of funny jokes.
Yeah, and, you know, the gang getting back together, Lamia interacting with the painting, which was great.
And them getting their reward for the whole thing, which was complimentary tissues, the consolation prize.
The second best joke, Fruichi just nonchalantly realizing that he could have cashed the check even though it had a hole in it.
I love that scene because it reminds me of whenever I'm playing video games with a friend, just completely dead-faced.
And then it's like, oh yeah, I could have cashed that $200,000 check.
Whatever. Want to play another game?
I wonder if the tissues are a gag or somewhat important.
Well, I think the gag is that they all just assume Furichi would need them. And they just give it to him.
No, just what I'm remembering about, you know, Japanese culture. It's kind of a, tissues are kind of a thing you just hand out for free there.
Yeah, people on the street will just give them out. Unless you're foreign, then they'll not. Because that's always funny.
That's so, yeah. They are literally given being something that is passed out for free as a prize.
Like if they got a pamphlet or something.
Yeah.
As a prize.
The here you throw this away gift.
Yes.
So this is a funny ass chapter, though.
And brings this arc to a close.
Yeah.
Oga calls Himikawa a shitty shit bastard.
And Hilda has actual, like, character development.
Yes.
Yeah.
About, like, she's realizing that she's not Beale's mom. Like, she knows that intellectually, but at some point she realizes she'll have to give him up.
Yeah, that's actually a big reveal in this chapter, is that Iris is still alive.
Yeah.
Because, Hilda says that she hopes Beale can meet his mother one day. So, I don't know if she's trapped somewhere or something.
I don't know. I assume that'll probably be a thing later.
Yeah, that seems to be the seed that this arc laid. Yeah.
The Demon Lord is pretty cruddy, so I wouldn't blame her leaving.
Or it'll involve Behemoth somehow.
That'd be funny if it's just that they got divorced. Because he's a jerk.
And he never realized it.
Just assume that she died. I stopped seeing you, so...
Wait, where'd she go?
I forget, did they ever say Iris was human, or...?
No. Not that I think everyone assumes that she is, but...
Which would make Beale half-human.
Yeah.
Which would be kind of cliche, but... I could see it happening.
But Beale is also not, like, that kind of character yet.
He's not really a character, he's a baby.
Yeah. Babies aren't even real people. I mean, let's be honest.
That's why we punch them.
They're tiny, adorable people, but they don't have any complex thoughts or personalities.
Yeah. They're basically cats. I mean...
I don't know. Baby might come when you call it.
My cats come when I call them.
Yeah.
Not my experience, but...
You have crappy cats, then.
Apparently. Maybe I need to have a kid.
No.
So, what do you think the fallout from this arc is going to be?
I'm not sure. I think Kugiyama is going to transfer schools.
That would make sense.
I'd like that. I'd like her.
I would love to see more of her.
I can see Furuichi trying to hit on her.
Yeah.
Furuichi being his general pervy self, whether by accent or otherwise.
Well, I'm guessing she's probably going to have a pretty large chest once she, like, unbounds it.
That is how manga usually goes, yeah.
Yeah. Especially since, like, she went through the trouble of pointing out that they aren't anything special.
I don't know if she'll just change like that immediately if she transfers.
I can see them trying to do a thing where she tries to stay as a man at Ishiyama.
I'd like that.
I could see the opposite, where she's trying to be a girl but keeps falling into doing, like, mannish things. Because she was raised as a man.
And if you skipped ahead, we're not talking about romance manga this week. Somehow. This could come out straight under any of that description right there.
So it feels about 10 for the next romance manga cast.
I'm sure that's happened. Like, that's an actual manga where the girl is pretending to be a boy the entire time.
Oh, yeah.
No, Nizukoi has that.
Yeah.
As the main love interest?
No.
Yeah.
No, but she's in there. It's like the man that gets wet and then, like, suddenly has a chest and looks girly.
See, the crappy thing about your last week's romance cast is that it got people reading Nisekoi.
I know, I felt so bad when I saw people... they totally missed the point of that.
They're like, oh, they're spending a long time talking about
this. No, it was Greg's fault, because he pushed it more than any of us.
Well, every week before we start, Greg like teases me that we're going to talk about Nisekoi this week, so I just started calling his bluff, and he was too chicken to do it.
Quote-unquote teases. I think he's waiting for me to say, all right, we're going to talk about this week, but nope. Too lazy to start reading another manga.
But I felt bad when I saw people saying, like, caught up on Nisekoi. What have I done?
It's the highest-ranking manga in Jump. So despite everything, it is annoyingly popular.
It's in the top 5 this week again.
And it's just, like, what surprises me is not even that fanservice-y. It's pretty fanservice-y, but not enough to rocket it to the front like that.
Wait, do you want to do this? Do you want to talk about Nisekoi?
I absolutely do not.
Okay, oh. Stop. So we're speaking of Nisekoi...
Assassination Classroom.
Yeah, a classroom where you kill people. That'd be great, Nisekoi.
I like this... I feel like they're kind of softening karma a little bit, but I feel like that's probably necessary, too.
Yes. Well,
it seems like the end of the karma arc, you know, dealing with his character.
Yeah, we find out why he wants to kill teachers. Because a teacher he trusted at one point betrayed him.
Yeah. And we also get a lot more gags of, like, Kuro-sensei, like, combing his hair and styling it while he tries to kill him.
Yeah. And putting an apron on him.
I really liked Karma's plan in this.
Jumping off the cliff?
Yeah, that's a really dramatic page of him just falling backwards over the cliff with the gun. So the plan being that Kuro-sensei is not going to let him die, and if he tries to get him, he'll just shoot him.
Speaking of dramatic pages, like when he's remembering that how a teacher, like when the teacher was betraying him, that he's like dead to me, and then his face starts like slowly cracking apart.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. I like that. That was surprisingly artistic for this manga.
It was effective in communicating things.
Yeah.
One thing to point out is that Karma fell out of favor from that teacher because he protected a E-class kid from getting bullied by some smart kids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was the typical manga protagonist.
But it drove him crazy.
Yeah. Except for that part. That didn't work out so well.
So Kuro-sensei just, like, makes a net under him to catch him.
Yeah. So he saved him without getting close enough to get killed.
Yeah. Which, I guess, turned Karma around, sort of.
And also, apparently, Yukimasa, or whatever his name is, was there, too.
Nagisa,
that's it.
Yeah.
For being the main character, he's not in this manga a whole lot.
Is he the main character, or is he a frequent character?
He's an audience conduit.
Yeah.
I would say Kuro-sensei.
The main character.
Yeah.
I mean, Kuro-sensei is both the main character and sort of the antagonist, I guess.
Yeah. Which is a weird combination.
It's probably why this feels so fresh.
I like the ending, though, of Karma being a little more well-adjusted, threatening to kill Kuro-sensei and then stealing his wallet.
Yeah. That he does that, like, neck or thumb across the neck thing, but does it with a smile.
Yep. So now he wants to kill him for good reasons, not for crazy reasons.
And Nagisa is still in the panel for some reason.
I'm also here.
There's literally no reason for him to be there except to comment on everything.
Well, he's the narrator. He just has a place in the manga.
Well, it's like Emerson said, he's the audience conduit.
Yeah. So I don't know if there's any point in guessing where this is going next week, because...
I assume new slice of life story.
Yeah, just a few one-offs, I think.
Like, I don't see this being a manga that's necessarily going to have massive story arcs.
Yeah.
I don't want it to.
I think we'll, you know, learn a little bit more about a couple more kids in the classroom, then something will happen for a couple chapters. You know, the usual.
And Nagisa will be there in the background.
I bet we even get one focusing on him.
Explaining his fucking hair.
Well, yeah.
Probably later, you know. Because he had to do... He seems like a well-adjusted kid, so he had to do something to get him put in the E.
Yeah, I'd like to learn more about him. Like, everyone in the E class seems relatively smart and talented. Like, it's kind of weird that they're all in, like, the dumb class.
I think it's more of a commentary on, you know, school systems and how they're just
like if you don't...
crazy and expect you to be absolutely smart and awesome at everything.
Step out of line and try to be an individual and you get put in the dumb class.
I think it's like they're the students that teachers can't reach. And that's why they had that teacher that asked Kuro-sensei to actually get to them.
Yeah.
But yeah, I guess we'll find out what this manga holds more next week, but...
The concept of this manga really reminds me of, like, when Bakuman was going on, they would talk about what makes an interesting kind of manga that is just completely different from everything else.
Yeah. Bakuman's really kind of painted how I view manga now when they're starting.
Well, this is basically what they were talking about when they were talking about a non-traditional battle manga.
Yeah.
This gets the action there, but it does it in a way that is different from everything else. This, Assassination Classroom, in a lot of ways, is like the antithesis of Barrage.
Yes.
It's something completely different.
Yeah, Barrage is competent, but it plays it so safe.
Okay. I guess Assassination Classroom is getting ranked at this point, isn't it?
This is issue 6, so it should be 7 weeks out.
Okay, two more weeks, yeah. And then it'll start getting ranked. So we can't say if it's popular or not yet.
I could have sworn I already saw rankings for this.
It's in the table of contents. It's just until chapter 8, they aren't actually ranked. They're just placed in there near the front usually to give them a chance.
So we'll see how this works out. I get the feeling this might be middle of the road popular.
I could see this being like the Pew no Fuku no Jaguar. That just kind of, you know, weird slice of life stories that just kind of hang around for a while. Because it's so easy to just, you know, do another one.
Or even, to a certain extent, Bakuman.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like Barrage. There isn't a lot of manga like this, so...
Yeah.
It's a lot easier for it to find fans.
And those fans will probably be voted at the top every week.
Yeah.
Well, so, Barrage has to compete with, like, fans of Naruto and One Piece and...
Well, because you pick three, right? That's how those surveys work.
And if you're a Shonen Battle fan, you know what three you're going to pick anyway.
Naruto, One Piece, and then Toriko or Bleach, depending on how old you are.
Yeah, probably Toriko.
Yeah.
Maybe never mind.
No, we're not talking about that, because I don't
Yeah, we're not talking about it, nothing.
Not talking about what? Hey, let's talk about One Piece.
Let's talk about One Piece.
Something that can never die.
Law makes the first good decision ever. Which was to replace his sea stone handcuffs with regular handcuffs.
Well, what I like is that he just replaced some of the handcuffs, so he just like had the random chance of getting it.
Yeah, but it worked out well for him.
But you're missing the start of the chapter. We visit an old friend.
Yeah, Eustace Kidd.
Yes, and Killer.
The two of the supernovas.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently most of the supernovas, barring Law, what was her name?
Bellamy? Bonnery Jewelry.
Bonnery Jewelry, Luffy.
Jewelry Bonnery, yeah.
And, God, there was someone else missing, but I can't remember who it was.
The gangster guy?
Oh, yeah, the guy who had, like, tiny gangsters inside of him.
Yeah, I don't remember his name. He's only, like, twice.
So everyone but them gets together, and they start having a meeting where they talk about...
Well, no, there's a few people missing. There's Drake, and there's a lot of people missing.
The monk...
Yeah, this is just four of them. Okay. Four of the 12. So there's 8 of them missing.
All right, so they're apparently creating an alliance.
Yeah, Scratchman, Apu, and Hawkins.
We should also point out that Eustace is a little worse for wear these days.
Yeah, he has a robot arm.
And a scarred up face and body. And Killer is sporting a goatee and long hair now.
Because last time saw Eustace before, like, the vague silhouette when he was watching Caesar Crown's broadcast was when he was fighting, what was it, the Pacifista?
No, we saw him after that. He was being surrounded by Big Mom's ships.
When was this?
At some point? I don't remember.
I'm trying to remember, like, because I remember him in Law, I think, were fighting the Pacifista. I don't recall seeing him again after that.
Let me just confirm...
But I don't doubt it. It just...
Yeah, it was after the time skip.
Did he look like this?
No, that's right. We didn't see him. We saw Big Mom's troops reporting that Kid had destroyed two of her ships.
Ah.
That's the only thing we heard about it, was that he was causing trouble.
So this is his first real appearance since...
Yes.
The
his first full
skip.
Named. Yeah.
Yeah, so they're arguing, and they really don't like each other, but they need to form an alliance for something.
Yeah.
I like that Killer is the mediator between all three. Because his name is Killer, and he looks completely crazy.
And he's telling everyone, yo, just calm down for a second.
Hawkins was the one that killed Blackbeard's crew, wasn't he?
Brownbeard's?
Brownbeard's, yeah, sorry.
Yeah. He's the weird, like... voodoo dude that has
or
like
the tarot cards, yeah,
and the straw dolls and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, so he destroyed Brownbeard's crew, which
worth noting, they all have bounties over 300 million. So
what's Luffy's at this point?
Four something.
I feel like they say it at some point in this recently, but I don't remember it. So yeah,
I can look that up while we keep talking.
They start their counterattack with Law breaking out of his fake handcuffs. And Franky taking a flaming deuce on a ship.
Yes. Well, it was like a flaming fart.
He simply calls it like a, coup de poo.
Coup de poo.
Oh, it is coup. I read a different translation then.
Yeah.
Because
the better one is coup de poo makes way more sense.
It does.
Also worth noting, Luffy's bounty is 400 million, which makes Kid's 700 or 70 million higher than his.
Kids was always higher.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it was higher before the time skip, right?
Yeah.
But you figure Luffy's whole thing at Marineford would raise his higher.
Oh, he was also dead for 2 years.
Oh, that's true.
Kids has been climbing that whole
also,
time.
Also, Kid just straight out murders people.
Yeah.
Also true.
Yeah, I think Luffy's jumped to 400 million before he disappeared and then like hasn't moved since in 2 years. So anyway, ship's on fire, smokescreen.
Yeah, they get the smokescreen, and Law frees everybody. He frees Smoker and Tashigi on the condition that they forget all about
Doflamingo.
Doflamingo. I'm trying to remember his code name.
Joker.
And he switches their hearts back, which is kind of funny and slightly adorable.
Yeah, I love Tashigi just glaring at Smoker later. And he doesn't understand why.
So Smoker has his body back, and they all break out, and Luffy somehow had broken out long before.
Well, he got his chains cut, and then...
immediately left the cage.
Yeah, because it's only made of steel, so he's busted out. And then we get the best joke in a very long time of...
Sanji accidentally groping himself as Nami?
Yeah, his chest starts hurting, so he grabs his chest, and he grabs her boob, and suddenly is completely revived. And he catches the dragon.
It's totally in character, though.
Yes.
I mentioned this before, but it, way back on other jump casts, that Sanji and Nami are pushing each other's bodies to certain limits that I still think it's going to come up back and bite them.
Yeah, or, you know, be a benefit. Like, maybe Nami's in a little bit better shape after this. Or maybe they'll both be out of commission for a long time.
And that's why they'll need the 10th crew member.
So, speaking of Nami...
Sanji Nami is on top of Brownbeard's alligator tail with Usopp.
Yeah, somehow still not dead. Like, this is three times now.
He's been punched in the face, gassed... Or, not shot in the face, sorry.
Yeah, shot in the face, gassed, like, beaten to within an inch of his life.
And they all survived an explosion, and now he's just running... to go save his crew.
Well, to save them, I think, also. Yeah.
Yeah, but the main point is he's trying to get towards Cedar Crown's laboratory.
So because now he knows the truth, so...
Yeah. So he's an ally of theirs now. So Brownbeard for crew member.
No, I do not like him.
Yeah.
So the last two pages of this are incredibly badass.
Oh, with Law, Smoker, and Luffy all teamed up?
Yeah.
Those bad decisions are finally paying off for Law.
And, you know, Zoro asking if Kinemon can just cut through iron. And he's like, yeah, No big deal.
I love his sneer, like he's insulted that Zoro even. Yeah, because Zoro and Ko run into Nami and Ko and at the base.
Yeah, so everyone's so met up at this point.
Yeah, they slice the wall to weaken it, and then Brownbeard smashes it down, and everyone enters, and Luffy says, "All right, everyone's here. Time to go crazy." Makes me excited as hell for the next chapter.
No kidding.
Just the final page of Kinemon and Zoro and Brownbeard smashing down the wall. Super awesome.
Hey, Kinemon, you can cut through flames. Think you can cut through a barrier?
I think Zoro just wanted to make sure that he was, you know, up to his level.
Something else I noticed in the panel where Kinemon answers him, Brook is in soul form in the background, and I'm not sure why. Like, he's left his body and he's floating above it. I don't know if they explain
why. He's just exhausted.
That might be it, actually. Yeah. Oh, he probably died of exhaustion, so he left the body.
Ho, 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 ho.
But he's
already dead.
So, prediction for next week, awesome chapter.
Yeah, I'm not even going to try to lots of people are going to get punched or slashed.
Fights are going to be set up, and cool crap's going to go down.
Balls to the walls.
Also, there's a giant hole in the wall, so that smoke's going to be a problem.
Law says he's going to go off after his heart, which I assume Virgo has.
Yeah, so it's going to be probably, Law and Luffy versus Virgo?
I think Law and Smoker versus Virgo. I think Luffy's going to fight Caesar Crown.
Yeah, but he still has Smoker's heart too, right? So.
Oh, we also, Frankie has probably just gone off to go find the Sunny.
Yeah.
Yeah, he kind of vanished.
I assume he meant to do something with it that involves the gas.
So, the last chapter before this, Chopper got passed a note. I wonder if that's just supposed to be Law or if there is still a traitor among Caesar Crown's people.
I feel like Monet. There has to be. It's got to be Monet.
Because Law was so concerned about nobody noticing that he could move that I doubt he'd be able to toss somebody a note.
Yeah, it would be pretty obvious. Oda would have telegraphed that better, too, if it were Law.
Actually, come to think of it, they were already outside when the note hit Chopper. So it couldn't have been Law.
Were they? Because I think he was looking at them.
He was watching them go outside, I believe.
Oh, yeah, he was watching them as they were moving. And then he got hit with the note.
Well, because he was thinking, like, oh, I got to do something, and then that's when the note hit.
Yeah, and also, from that angle that I'm looking at it now, there's no way it could have been Law without it being really obvious.
Okay, so, theory crafting thing. The people that are watching this television thing, the first person they show in this chapter, the person says, "How on earth did those people get captured by Caesar?" And just the familiar tone that the person uses to refer to Caesar makes me wonder if that's Vegapunk.
Because
there's not very many people that would, be on familiar terms with Caesar, except his ex-partner.
The guy has, looks like, sharp ears.
Or that's part of his coat or something.
I think it's what's his name? The laser guy. Kizaru?
It could be.
Because he wore that kind of flamboyant coat.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just something that stuck out to me. And then we get another shot of possibly curly-haired man in a top hat watching the video.
Big Bomb's crew.
Yeah.
I'm still curious what this alliance is they're apparently having.
I think it's probably a necessity of the Red Line. It's basically what Law's doing with Luffy. They formed an alliance to take on someone.
It seems like they have an objective goal in mind, though, and I very much don't see Kid going along with, partnering with the people.
If Big Mom's the one that did that to Kid, maybe...
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
That would be a cool next part of this arc that the entire supernovas are taking on Big Mom.
Or at least these four.
Well, Luffy has to take them on, too.
Well, that's what I mean. It's hard to count Killer. He's a supernova in the same way Zoro is. He's not a captain. He doesn't count.
Well, that may be the one Law is going after as well.
Yeah, so we end up with a team up of like half the supernovas.
Yeah.
I still don't think he's going after Mom.
Law or this?
Law, yeah. Eustace definitely probably going after Mom, but Law someone else.
Yeah, so going to be awesome next week.
So awesome.
I think it's interesting that the Big Mom's crew is watching Luffy tear apart Caesar Crown, or they're going to.
They got interest in the black market.
Well, I mean, they get to report back to Big Mom what Luffy's power is. And if he's absurdly strong, then she's probably going to take the fight to him.
Possibly.
But yeah, next week, tells they can't wait.
All right, so.
Is it coming out next week?
Yeah.
Okay.
So we already we're over and done with our jumpless week. So we'll be fine next week.
Oh, I thought he just assumed that One Piece was going on a break again.
Yeah. Because
it's gone 2 weeks in a row. He's probably going to take a break pretty soon.
All right. So on to Naruto.
Which had a really awesome cover.
It had a really awesome cover in like a not good chapter.
What?
It was...
Yeah.
Kakashi's Explanation Corner.
In fairness, Kakashi... the cover was great.
It's a great cover.
With the chocolate trench coat.
And he gets taller when he gets toad eyes for some reason. I think he's just standing up straighter.
Yeah. He's kind of leaning forward before that. But yeah, Kakashi explains what we had already figured out. That,
like, very explicit and heavy hints.
That the Kamui skill he has is the same. It's the exact same tunnel that...
So it's the other pair to his eye.
Yes. Which we've already... I guess it's not confirmation yet, but we can safely say this is Obito.
Well, this is Obito's eye,
yeah.
At least.
There is some connection to Obito here, whether it is him or he just took his eye.
Yes. So, and that's pretty much it for this chapter.
You know what this reminded me of is way back when I first started watching the Naruto anime, and they had that really good plan against Zabuza, where they like threw a Naruto kunai or ninja star at him.
And then talked about it for an hour?
Yeah, the next two episodes were about that. And that's basically what they've done for this manga, except they had that nice little reveal at the end.
The end of this chapter was good, with Naruto thinking back to his master and father, and, you know, Kyuubi taking over for him.
Naruto doesn't seem to really mind that he stole Pain's eye.
No. I think he's got bigger things to be mad about.
Or he just doesn't know or understand yet.
Wait, hold on. Toby just told Kakashi to shut up as soon as Kakashi was about to tell him who he was. And he did. he just stopped talking. Well, wait, I've told you not to open your mouth. Okay.
This chapter.
I like the last page of Naruto going to like Super Saiyan 4 and charging Pain.
I still think the Kyuubi Naruto switch is just the stupidest thing.
Eh.
Because it's like, it's this thing where he just doesn't want to have the Kyuubi talk. It doesn't really want to make an explanation for why he does. So they switch for like a page, then come back.
Well, I think it's more that Kyuubi wanted to tell Toby himself, you know, what he thought of Naruto.
But can't the A-Tails talk?
Yeah, but B's better than him.
Again, I mean, Chakra Coat is still really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love his, like, Sage of Six Path transformation.
Though he's been going through a lot of transformations lately.
Like, didn't he do this one once before?
Has he?
I don't remember.
It looks familiar with the thicker lines under his eyes.
Didn't he wear this when he was transported to the village to fight Pain? But not, like, in the chakra sense, just a...
It was a different coat.
He had an actual coat then. It was not made of chakra.
I want to say he did this when he was training before Kisame showed up on the giant turtle.
I don't think he hit this level. I think he hit the just glowy yellow level.
Flames.
For some reason, just like the thicker lines under his eyes look really familiar.
I think Kishimoto is just getting bored drawing the same Naruto and keeps giving him more transformations.
Okay, this one's awesome. I hope he stays with this one till the end.
No, he's going to add more. He's going to be like a chakra monster truck.
Or he's going to realize it's too hard to draw and change back.
Or this might be one of those things where Jump is asking him to make things that they can make figures out of.
Yes. Well, now we need to have like six Narutos in the next fighting game. That's so many transformations.
They already have, I think, three, four?
Oh,
jeez. There's Naruto, Kyuubi Naruto, Sage Mode, and now Glowy Flame One.
Well, and young Naruto.
Yeah, and young Naruto.
And young Kyuubi Naruto.
Oh.
And then Sasuke, and older Sasuke, and then, like, Sword Sasuke, and then, like, Bat Sasuke, and Snake Sasuke.
Snake Sasuke coming soon.
Oh, Kabuto. They should have a big nose Kabuto model.
God, I wish those games came out on PC so I could mod that. And...
It'll be DLC.
You just go into the nose file and just increase it by like 2 points.
Change the INI to like 200.
So every sign here is pointing towards Toby being Obito, which is why I like the theory that it is Rin.
Oh, that would be cool.
You know, the one that like would be mad at Kakashi for letting Obito die and disappeared.
The thing that gets me is Obito's eye was pretty clearly crushed.
Well, it was under a rock. I mean, that part could have been concave and left the eye intact.
But I feel like Rin would have noticed that and given him both eyes.
I don't know. This is a world where people can, like, grind people up and inject them into themselves. I'm sure you can fix an eye.
This is a ninja magic. Did I not just complain about ninja magic a couple of chapters ago?
So maybe he's not Toby. He just injected Toby into him, or Obito.
Yeah, just mainlined Obito. Get your black hair and eye and go crazy.
If he is Obito, that raises so many more questions.
Like, how aren't you dead? And how are you strong?
And why are you doing this?
Which, I'm sure, it's not something that's just going to get brushed off if it is Obito. We'll get our explanation.
It would explain why they had Kakashi Gaiden. Like, that whole thing up until now has not really made a whole lot of sense.
But it does when you consider it opens the second half, and Obito would be the main bad guy of the second half. So.
Yeah. Which is weirdly forward-thinking for Kishimoto.
Yeah.
For mangaka in general, they don't do things that many years ahead.
You don't have, like, 300 chapters between a reveal and a hint.
Unless you're insane. I'm sure there's mangaka who have done that.
Yeah.
Or you're Oda.
Well, yeah, Oda. Even then, there's been things he's changed along the way. Like Big Mom's design, I guess.
Yeah, he's retconned things and then acted like he's introduced things when he hasn't. But for the most part, he does a very good job.
Yeah, so hopefully they got all the Kamui stuff out of the way now. Then we never need to hear about it again. I can see why they did it, because it being the same as Kakashi's is important, but it didn't need to be like 15 pages of it.
Well, I mean, Kakashi can say, like, that's the other pair to my eye. That means you're, you know, instead of, like, the 10 pages between him starting that sentence and finishing
instead it. Instead of the TED talk about Kamui.
Yes. And, like, the diagrams and examples and...
Gets out this PowerPoint presentation.
We see the
projector. Growth of Kamui has increased year over year.
Anyway, like One Piece, I'm really excited for Naruto next week.
Yeah. Not quite as excited as One Piece, but...
No, well, One Piece is going to blow the doors off.
One Piece ended in possibly the best way, and Naruto ended in a way that makes me happy that this explanation is over.
This happens every good One Piece arc, is it has that chapter where stuff just hits the fan, and it goes balls to the wall, and everything is crazy, and it's awesome.
And Naruto's trying to... Hopefully they're going to hit this climax moment soon. I mean, I know they have to wrap up the Madara fight, and they have to wrap up whatever Sasuke is doing.
That's I really hope it doesn't switch focus.
It's going to switch focus. Maybe not next chapter, but soonish, I think. Because they're getting too close to the truth.
Yeah.
I think next chapter, at least, it's going to be more obvious of who...
Toby.
I can't believe I forgot his name so fast. So we'll get more clues to that at least, and then it'll switch to whatever Sasuke is doing.
Well, I'm wondering if Kishimoto is still under the impression that some people think it's Madara. So it'll be until we find out he's not really Madara, and then we'll switch back to the Madara fight.
But
I know. I know.
But
So good jump cast.
There.
I feel like time traveling Sasuke is still kind of a possibility.
I'm putting my chips on Rin just because I want that to be true.
But yeah, I guess that makes sense because did he have two Sharingan before, or did he have one Sharingan and?
No, he had two. Then, oh wait, you mean Toby?
Yeah.
We only ever saw his Sharingan eye. He got the new mask when he stole the Rinnegan.
Oh yeah.
I bet it's half of Obito and half Rin.
Like he's Zetsuing somehow?
Sure.
Why not?
No, he's half a Zetsu, half Obito.
He's just a black Zetsu. That's the twist. There's nothing special about him.
He popped up on the other side of the rock and, hey, an eye.
He's actually Orochimaru.
If I were Orochimaru, I would have put myself in all the Akatsuki, because it seems like a pretty useful skill.
I mean, you just trick people. Give them a syringe, say, oh, this stuff's really great. You should inject it into yourself.
This guy's really great. You should go ahead and mainline him.
Got so many jutsus off the syringe.
I feel like Naruto universe has changed for the worse ever since we figured out that you can inject people into yourself. Like, it's never going to be the same. The innocence has been lost.
Magic.
I'm just trying to apply that to other mediums, like Law and Order. Like, somebody kills someone, grinds him up, and then injects him into himself.
It's a flawless plan. That's like a Detective Conan thing. Like, they would do it in seriousness.
That's how he got rid of the body. He smuggled it out in his veins.
He ate him.
And then Conan somehow figures all this out in, like, half an hour.
I noticed the giant meat grinder and all the used syringes on the ground.
Also, this bathing of blood right here.
And I noticed his frequent trips to the bathroom.
And the fact that he's seemingly twice his body weight. Alright, so any final thoughts or predictions?
Just excited for next week. Hopefully a fight.
Hopefully.
Fight.
French coat fighting.
I can see it going back to Madara. And then not finishing with that.
I could see it going back to Sasuke. Because that's the one that we haven't seen in a while.
But there's answers there, while Madara is more teasing.
No, it'll get closer to answers with Sasuke and then jump to Madara.
Oh, that makes sense.
They'll be talking about that and this person.
They'll get to the place and then it's, you know, oh, so we finally met you, person. It's you. The person that did the thing.
I assume Kishimoto knows who he's going to introduce this time, but there have been times where he's been using that vague wording that I don't think he knew what he was actually going to do.
Okay. Post-time skip immediately. They come back to the village, Jiraiya and Naruto.
Talk about that Jiraiya, jutsu?
Yes, he tells him not to use that jutsu, and he never uses anything new.
He uses the Odama Rasengan, and that's the only thing new.
Yeah, and it's just a bigger Rasengan. Yep. The next new move he develops himself later on.
Yeah, which actually people should have been telling him not to use, because it kills him.
I have to wonder if that jutsu wasn't the Kyuubi transformation, because, I mean, that isn't good.
Yeah, but that wasn't really a jutsu. He just got really mad.
Yeah. Well, anyway.
Maybe it'll show up in this fight.
Finally, the explanation of that jutsu.
Hundreds of pages later.
This should really end with a sexy no jutsu.
Yes, that's what I want. In a Sasuke fight.
He turns into Rin, and Toby gets all pissed. Because Toby is Rin.
He's fighting Sasuke and he turns into sexy Sasuke, and that just appeals to Sasuke on so many levels.
Then the manga never comes out because Kishimoto can't stop drawing it.
The page is ruined just because of the nosebleed all over it.
All right.
He turns it into Jump and it's just soaking.
Okay, when we're talking about Sasuke on Sasuke fanfiction, we need to end this
part. All right. This has been your Thursday, August 16th Jumpcast. Guys, thank you for coming.
Yep.
Yeah, it was fun.
We'll see you all next week.
Okay, so the new Nisei Koi. In it, like the three girls, there's three of them now. And
there's four.
There's four if you count that girl. They all have keys, the three of them. Not the assassin. But I mean, there's like a sweet dog. Hit God, that story mode was so boring. I fell asleep playing Persona last night.
I actually like the end of Yosuke's, because it, I don't think the point of this is that it's supposed to be another story, like an interesting one like Persona 4.
What the fuck is that?
Holy crap.
What?
That's the loudest bag of chips, I'm guessing, that I've ever heard.
Oh, no. Sorry.
I thought you just like took a piece of white paper and held it up to your mic and just started crumpling.
That's no, what I think of your podcast.